book of Deuteronomy. We're going to be in Joshua as well, so go to Deuteronomy chapter 31, and then most of the time we're going to be in the book of Joshua. They're right there together in your Old Testament, Deuteronomy 31, and then we'll be in Joshua chapter 1.
Deuteronomy 31. Mike, you kind of got me on singing all those songs. I was thinking by the time I was singing that fifth song, I was trying to remember, now what is our theme for this year? I was like, man, that was a lot of theme songs, and man, what a blessing and encouragement. But of course, we do know that our theme this year is Forward by Faith. And as we look at the book of Joshua, we think upon the very fact that God called him to go forward into the promised land by faith. And I want to continue that study tonight. How's everybody doing tonight? Everybody good? If you're glad to be here, would you say amen?
Amen.
All right. Now, some of you didn't say it now. All right. Come on. I want you to be here. I want you to be glad to be here. I hope you come to let your heart be just warmed by the Word of God and encouraged. And we're thankful for what the Spirit will do. Joshua chapter 1. We'll be in just a second, but first I want to look at a verse in Deuteronomy 31:7. Notice what Moses is going to say unto Joshua. When he says here, and Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Now, it's interesting to note that this message will be repeated in the first few verses of Joshua, but one of the things that stands out to me in that phrase is the last part of verse 7, where it says, and thou, speaking of Joshua, shall cause them to inherit it. In other words, he's saying, Joshua, as a leader, you are going to be responsible for leading the way into the promised land. And everybody in this room tonight is in some form of leadership, whether you want to admit it or not. And God is going to use you in many ways to cause others to inherit the promised land, if you will, the victorious Christian life. God's going to use your influence. God's going to use your impact. And this is the charge given to Joshua as he is going to be responsible for leading others. And let me say this, unless we easily forget, God calls us to lead people to victory. As we walk in victory, we first have to be doing it. But do you know that we can also lead people into defeat? Sadly, our lives can lead people in the wrong direction. Our influence and our impact can lead people away from walking in obedience to Christ. And I don't believe that's anybody's desire here tonight. And so let's look to Joshua and to see how he took this charge. Let's go over to chapter 1. Look at chapter 1. We've already preached an intro message and talked about verses 1 where the great epitaph written by the Lord on His servant Moses. And now the attention is turning to Joshua. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And verse 6 says, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them." The title of tonight's message comes from verse number 2, where Joshua is given the command of arise and go. Arise and go is the charge that Joshua is receiving. Would you pray with me? Lord, what a joy it is to open up the Bible. And I'm asking, Lord, that it would have its way. I pray that You would give me utterance. I confess to You, Lord, tonight, I don't have any power of my own. I yield to You, Holy Spirit. And I'm asking You to just be the teacher, be the convincer, be the one who guides tonight, be the one who opens up the heart and the thoughts of every individual here. And do a deep work, Holy Spirit, for the glory of Jesus, that we might be more like Him, is what I'm asking You, my God. And I thank You that You'll do that, because I believe it be Your perfect will. And I surrender to You, and so does everyone here, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The charge to Joshua is arise and go. Now, there has been 30 days of mourning at the death of Moses. It was now time for Joshua and the children of Israel to move forward into the promised land. You know, that had to be a difficult time. We've all experienced that. Most of us here have experienced that. Some of you young people may not have remembered that in detail, but where we've lost a loved one and there was mourning and there was grieving and there's a place for that. Now, we know that the Bible teaches that we do not grieve sorrow like others without hope sorrow. Thank God we have a hope that Jesus Christ gives in our own hearts, knowing that where we're going when we die. But one of the fact of the matter is, everyone experiences this. And I'm sure Joshua and the children of Israel did as well. In fact, can you imagine, this was Joshua's mentor. This is one he highly esteemed and respected, a man that taught him how to pray, taught him how to battle, taught him how to walk with God, taught him how to lead people, and taught him how to love people. Just poured himself into Joshua all these years, and now Joshua's saying goodbye. And the children of Israel are as well. However, there's a message for Joshua. You have had a time of mourning and grieving, and now it is your time to arise and go. You see, what we have here is we realize in this situation throughout the Bible, and we realize in the reality of life, is this, that no one is indispensable. Not one person is indispensable. You know, Moses was a good man. In fact, he was a friend of God, the Bible says. He was more meek than any other. He had a sterling testimony, a wonderful testimony of being a man that was just a God-fearing man. And we saw his testimony, and he wasn't perfect, but he did walk with the Lord, and we saw the miracles that God just really spoke through him and committed through him. But we realize that even this man was indispensable. He was replaceable. And each one of us are replaceable. You know, one thing about it, though, when you look at Moses, is that God, even though God would take Moses out and not let him go through the promised land, God let this man, Moses, train and mentor his replacement. And that was special, because I believe it went along with Moses' approach on life. And by the way, it should be others. You know, if you're someone who's walking with God, you should be constantly wanting to invest and multiply yourself. Not because, again, you're indispensable, but the fact of the matter is, you look at your life as someone, as a follower of Christ, and you want to that to spread as many people as possible. Why? Because Jesus gave us that command. He says, go ye forth into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He says, teaching them to obey, teaching them to follow me in my commandments. He's basically telling them to go and make disciples. Let yourself be multiplied. And that's what Moses did. I believe he trained this man, Joshua. And by the way, God tells us in Psalm 75:7, that God is the judge, and he putteth down one and setteth up another. You know, brethren, it's just healthy to never look at yourself as a gift to mankind. You and I can be replaced very quickly. The Lord's servants do pass on, but thank God his work goes forward. His work goes forward, and thank God when we get a hold of that, we understand that our life is not about building up ourselves, but it's about building up the Lord Jesus Christ and leaving a legacy where people can be led closer to the Lord. That's the point of this life. And by the way, understand that the message is always more important than the messenger. And God forbid when that ever gets reversed. You see, John the Baptist knew that. He said, he must increase, speaking of Jesus Christ, and I must decrease. What a wonderful philosophy of life to have right there for all of us. So as Joshua is standing at the brink of the Jordan, and he's looking westward, and he's looking into the promised land, God's going to say some things to him right here at the beginning that I want to look at with some of the time we have tonight. He's looking at going into the land that has been promised. The victory land. The land where there is giants and where there is walled cities and where there is a lot of battles on the horizon. But it's a land where God's going to work miracles. A land where God's going to bring delivery. And it is amazing to think about the fact that that is exactly what you and I are doing today. You know, every one of us tonight is standing on the brink of the Jordan in some way. And some of you have already ventured over into the promised land and other areas of your life. But we would all be prideful here tonight to say we're all living in the promised land completely. There are some areas in our life that God is still wanting us to cross the Jordan River into the victory land. Maybe there's some areas tonight where you're wondering, huh, I just don't know about being fully committed to Christ. I don't know about this area in my life, whether there's any opportunity for victory. I want to tell you, everybody's standing on that in some way. But I want to tell you, if you will follow the footsteps of Joshua and take God at His word, victory is on its way. The land is yours. And as Warren Wiersbe said about this idea of the promised land, he said this, the children of Israel owned the promised land because God gave it to them. But it was up to them to enjoy it. And as we think about the promised land, folks, God's given it to us and we go forward by faith. But in order to enjoy it, in order to embrace it, we have to do our part. We have to take that step of faith and obey the commandment of God. And thank God Joshua's going to do that. So let's look at some things to remember. If you're taking notes, what to remember when going forward by faith. What to remember when going forward by faith. Number one, I would encourage you to remember, you don't need to be overly retrospective. Not to be overly retrospective. Now, it is healthy to look back and to remember the things that God has done. We see so many commandments that the Lord does that, even tells the children of Israel. And to remember and also to share with your children so that they can share with their children and then their children to remember what God has done. But there is a fault that can take place in your heart and my heart if we're not careful. And it can take place in this church. And it can take place in any church where you're just looking at the past and you're stuck in the past. Or maybe what God did at one time, or the good old days, if you will, or the revivals in the past when D.L. Moody was here or when Spurgeon was here and Charles Finney and all these different ones that you could name off. We could go through those things. But I like what Tozer said. If God wanted you to focus on the past, He would have put eyes on the back of your head. That's not what God wants us to focus on. He wants to focus on going forward. Forward by faith. Like I said, it is healthy to remember the past and our history. We don't want to repeat it when it's in a bad way, but we must not live in the past. So many of God's people do that. Some, they live in failure. Sometimes they live in past failure. Sometimes they live in past victory. But the truth of the matter is, God's got a new day for you. He's here today leading you and me. And that's what He's going to do for Joshua. He doesn't want Joshua to focus on Moses and being stuck. Well, I'm just not going to be able to do it like Moses. And the children of Israel, oh, wait, what's going to happen to us? Are we going to, is there going to be the Red Sea's parting? Is there going to be those kind of miracles? I mean, look what God did back then. What's He going to do now? Wait, maybe He won't do that anymore. And there's a danger of being overly retrospective. But can I say, according to the Word of God, that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God changes not, and though some of His outwardly manifestations are not the same as they are today, His inwardly manifestations are the same. He's still doing miracles to the human heart. And my friend, that's more of a miracle than the Red Sea, if you ask me. Because you know how bad your heart is, and I know how bad mine is, and I know what God's doing in each of us. And it's awesome. It's the power of God. And I'm thankful that He is still working, a work in progress. But as we see here, I even think about, you know, some are saying, boy, if I could have just been a fly on the wall back then, or if I could just go back in time and see that. And I think that is kind of fun and amusing to think about, especially when you think of certain scenes in the Bible. Maybe it's David and Goliath. Maybe it was the Red Sea. Maybe it was there being there with Jesus as He was teaching His disciples. Maybe it was different times of biblical accounts that you and I read of often that you could envision yourself being there. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I want to say this. If we want to look at life right now from God's perspective, we would not want to go back and live in those times. Why? Because God has chosen before the foundations of the world for you and me to be in this generation. So if God in His ultimate knowledge and wisdom has chosen for you and me to be alive and breathing and ministering in 2022, brethren, we wouldn't want to go back to any other time. This is our time. And that's what Joshua was learning right there. God was saying, Joshua, that was Moses' time. Now it's your time. And I'm grateful to know that as we think upon what God has for us, this is our time. His power is for now, not just for the past. An unbelieving philosopher by the name of Ralph Waldo Emerson said this, "This, like all times, is a very good one, if we but know what to do with it." That was from an unbelieving philosopher. How much more should the children of God take hold of that very statement? And say, this is our time. If only we know what to do with it. And brethren, we've been told what to do with it. We know exactly what to do with it. It's to be born again. And then it's to live out our life for the glory of Jesus Christ. That's what it's about.
I know what it's all about. I hope you do as we seek to live out this life. As we're going forward by faith, we can't be overly retrospective. We think upon, we're careful to remember that when we are here about and looking at God's workings in the past, we're also hearing about the highlights. You know, with these, a lot of these times, these accounts of revival that we hear about, you know, a lot of times those are the highlights. Those are the hilltops. Those are the times of all the good aspects of it. But you know, a lot of times we don't get the other side. We don't get the failures that were experienced. We don't get the trials that were experienced, the stretching that was experienced through these brethren. And we don't hear about those. And so sometimes we just get caught up in the glory. But what we need to remember that just like those times, in order those for people to have those times of revival and victory, they had to go through the fire too. You had to go through the fire. You could not experience true revival without being tried. And Joshua and those are going to learn that very quickly as we read through this book and study through this book. They're going to find trial after trial after trial. And the Lord is faithful through it all. You know, I was reading this morning in Ephesians. You know, I mentioned Ephesians chapter 3, the prayer of Paul. And we can't remember what he said there in verse number 20. He says, now unto him, after this prayer, he said, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Let's just don't memorize that verse and just glance over it. Let's let that truth get in us, because that same power that was in Moses, that was in Joshua, that was in every follower of God and believer in God, that same power is in us, brethren. So we don't need to get caught up in just saying, well, God worked back in these days, but I just don't know about today. Well, let's remember, brethren, that God's got something for us today and tomorrow as we walk by faith. But not only do we not to be overly retrospective, but secondly, if you're taking notes, we need to understand that God was telling him here that everywhere you go, God has given to you. Everywhere you go, God is giving to you a place of victory. So notice with me again, he's saying go over to this Jordan. He's saying to him that it's time to not look behind. But now in verse 3, he says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So again, this was a call and a command not only to claim the land as owners, but it was to occupy it. And that is where we see Joshua going to, by faith, realize that, though, this land is ours. Now, as we look here at verses 3 and 4, we need to realize, again, Joshua was preparing to go over, and God is saying something very interesting here. He's telling him, Joshua, I want you to look every direction. I want you to look every direction. And I want you to know, everywhere you set your foot, I'm giving that to you. That's what I've promised. And he gives a description of the land of Canaan. If you look there in your Bibles in the next verse, he goes on. And let me just tell you quickly what that represents. He says, it's yours for the taking. He said, from the wilderness, which is the Arabia Desert, that's to the south. And then he says, and this Lebanon, that's to the north. And then he says, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, that's east. And then he says, all the land of the Hittites, that's an area up to the north. And then he closes with this, to the great sea, which was the sea Euphrates, and that was directly to the west, where the sun would set. He says, you look that direction, that direction, that direction, you look every direction, and I'm telling you, it's yours, Joshua.
And can I just encourage you tonight, church, if there's anything I can encourage you with, if you're in the will of God, every step you take is going to be victorious. Because it's a path that God has picked out for you. It's the one that He's leading you in. And as you go by faith, no matter what the devil says and what your flesh says or what anybody else says, if you're walking in the will of God, you can guarantee God is giving that to you. I'm reminded of that wonderful verse in Romans 8:32 that says, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" Brethren, God is leading us into the land of victory every day of our lives. And you don't need to wake up in the morning when your feet hit that floor wondering whether or not it's going to be a day of victory if you're in the will of God. If you have surrendered your heart to Him, it's going to be a day of victory. God is giving us the land. It's ours for the taking. You probably look in some directions and maybe you're thinking, "I don't know about that over there, Pastor." Pastor, I don't know about this section. That's a pretty high wall there, Pastor. Pastor, there's some giants over here in this section, and don't know if we set foot over there. I don't really know if God will really give it to us. We can't think like that, brethren. Everywhere you're looking in the will of God. You know, they say, and I don't know if this is proven or not, I don't know who keeps records of this, but they say that Bill Gates is the greatest landowner in America. Okay? Maybe that's true. And maybe that's, you know, thousands, maybe even however many thousands, hundreds of thousands of acres. I don't know. But I will say this, I don't agree with it. Because truly, if you want to be truly accurate about it, God owns it all. God owns this earth. This is His earth. And I'm not talking about us going forth and claiming it financially. You probably find yourself in prison if you do that, okay? But what I am saying is everywhere we go on this earth, whether it's Jackson County or whether it's Africa, I don't care. Wherever you go in the will of God, God says it's yours for His glory. Because that's why I occupy anywhere I go anyway. God's put me on 176 Palmer Court, yes, to have a home, and yes, to be able to live there and have my family live there. But you know why I'm on 176 Palmer Court? It's because God wants me to be a light for His glory. And you can say that about your address. You can say that about your workplace. God has put you where you are, and He's going to give that to you for victory, to be the light you need to be. Be able to enjoy it. You go forth and realize it is indeed yours. Let me go with the third point here. Not only will you don't need to be overly retrospective where you're caught up in the past, but also you need to realize everywhere you go in the will of God is the land that God has given you. But thirdly tonight, in verse 5, we're going to see that God gives a promise, a charge to Joshua that no man will stand against him. Notice what it says. "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life." What a promise. What a promise. Question. Can the believer claim that promise today? Absolutely. We can be opposed. Joshua was opposed a lot, wasn't he? But what God is saying here, what my church is going to do and what you're going to do as a member of this church and as you go forward by faith, if you're in the will of God, no man's going to be able to stop you. Only in God's will, of course. Now, I get out of the will of God in disobedience, I'm going to be stoppable, okay? I'm going to be spanked. That's what I'm going to be by God Himself. But the fact of the matter is, brethren, we can have confidence tonight. No man will be able to stand against us as we walk forward into the land of victory. I like what Psalm 27 says, the Psalm of David. He said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" There is no reason for the believer tonight, in any time and anywhere, there is no reason for the believer to be afraid. And if I'm talking to someone tonight, and you're like made of the same flesh as me, and there are times where you get scared in life because of the circumstances in your life, it does happen. I want to tell you, when we are afraid in that way, we are believing a lie. It's just like the disciples. They thought they were going to perish. Remember the Lord was asleep in the boat? He said, "Master, you don't care that we're going to perish?" There's no reason for you and I to be afraid as followers of Jesus. We trust the Lord. We have a healthy fear of Him. You better believe I'm afraid of God because I know He is holy and righteous and pure. But I'm not afraid because He's going to do mean things or wicked things or unrighteous or unjust things. He's just an all-powerful, almighty God. I have a fear of Him. But the fact of the matter is, I don't have to be afraid of anybody or anything as long as I am submitted rightly to the Lord. I like what Hebrews 13:6 says, "So that we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me.'" The Lord is my helper. And that's what Joshua was saying and understanding that God was telling him, "Look, like I was with Moses, Joshua, I'm going to be with you." And why, can you just put your name in there tonight just for practical application? Would you do that? Would you say there in that verse, as God is speaking to Joshua, just for practical aspect, notice what he says there. He says, "As I was with Moses," in verse number 5, you ought to put your name there, "so I will be with Brinson. I will not fail Brinson, nor forsake Brinson." You put your name there. Stand strong. Be rooted in that truth. Because that promise is repeated in the New Testament. It's for every one of us. Be encouraged tonight. We're going to be okay. Even when the battle is raging. George Whitefield said this, "We are immortal until our work on earth is done." Yes, brethren, we understand, as I said just a moment ago, when it comes to being indispensable, there is that element that we must understand very clearly. But we're also immortal until God is done with us. Until our work on earth is finished, we are going to remain. And we need to be faithful, understanding that God is going to be faithful in the work He started. I'm grateful for that. Philippians 1:6, I believe I'm quoting it right. "But he that hath begun a good work in you," that's what God starts. What He will continue. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And folks, I like this. God finishes what He starts. Now, we're all guilty of starting jobs or whatnot where we don't get through with it. We should strive to finish the job. We got projects, yard projects or something on the job or something when you said, "I'm going to start this," and you start it and you never finish it. And we should strive to get better at that, amen. I know we should. But folks, let me tell you something tonight. You know what God started in your life? He's going to finish it.
He's going to finish it. He promises to.
I want to share an illustration with you. You may say, you know, Pastor, that's a little far-fetched. That's a little unreal. But I want to assure you, brethren, the illustration I'm about to share with you comes from the same Holy Spirit that you have tonight living in you if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Some of you have heard of that missionary, John Payton. You've heard of where God called him to the island of the New Hebrides. And it was an island that was filled with cannibals. And the missionary John Payton was highly criticized for his decision to follow Christ to the New Hebrides. And he was being criticized by good people, people in his church, people that I believe genuinely loved John and wanted to see him succeed in the will of God. There was a lot saying, John, you've been so successful on the streets of London and many people are coming to Christ. You got a good ministry here, John. Just stay here. Stay here and succeed and see God use you. And he got a lot of criticism by going to these islands. And this one particular man, and he was an elderly gentleman, came to John and said this. A Mr. Dixon was his name. He actually exploded with emotion and he said, "The cannibals! You will be eaten by cannibals!" And to this, John responded, "Mr. Dixon, you are advanced in years now, and your own prospect is soon to be laid in the grave, there to be eaten by worms. I confess to you that if I can but live and die serving and honoring the Lord Jesus, it will make no difference to me whether I am eaten by cannibals or by worms." He said, "And in the great day, my resurrection body will rise as fair as yours in the likeness of our risen Redeemer." Now, I in no way claim to have the faith that John has in this testimony, John Payton. But what I am saying, I am growing and learning from this man's testimony. That he realized that what God has put in my life, the will of God, he is going to fulfill it in and through me if I will but follow him. If Crooked Creek Baptist Church will but follow him. By faith, believing God, taking Him at His Word, letting Him transform us, letting Him overcome those giants. I believe that. And if we die in the process, it's the will of God. I'm not saying we should go out looking for a suicide. I'm not saying that at all. You understand my heart tonight. But it is not deterring away from danger and from trials and spiritual warfare. It's not bowing and cowering from that. No, it's standing up and saying, "Brethren, let's go. The land has been given to us by God Almighty." And I like what Warren Wiersbe said. He said, "God didn't give Joshua explanations as to how he would accomplish these things because God's people live on promises and not explanations." And many times we're standing around waiting across and say, "Lord, you're going to have to explain this one." When what we need to do is take God at His Word and promise and say, "Let's go." Adrian Rogers said, "Victory is God's gift to every Christian. The Bible admits the possibility of defeat, but never assumes the necessity of it." Never assumes the necessity of it. Brethren, let's arise and go. Follow the steps of Joshua. And wherever you're looking at thinking that you're not going to be able to overcome, whatever it be in your life, don't believe that lie. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we come in your name and thanking you for the victory that you gave us at the cross. Thank you, Lord, for making a way to be saved. And not only to be saved, Lord Jesus, but thank you by the power of your resurrection, we have the victory to live out this life on earth in full victory. Overcoming sin daily, overcoming Satan's attacks daily. Lord, gaining ground, gaining land that You have given us in our spiritual lives. And God, I just beg You tonight, I cry out to You, Lord, make this truth aware to our hearts and minds, not just to hear it, but to live it. Oh, Lord, I pray for my brethren tonight as they leave out of this room. Lord, as they're faced with the fiery darts of the wicked, I pray that You'd help them to hold up the shield of faith and press toward a gaining ground that You've called them to. Lord, we are rejoicing tonight in Your goodness. And I thank You for this truth that we've studied. May You be honored and glorified from it. With heads bowed and eyes closed, will we have the musicians come, please?